Want a new ride? Check out Highland Auto Sales in Springfield and test drive Red's Hot Ride of the Week today. Go to HighlandAutoSales.com now.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Janet, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Well, all righty. We have landed on Sports Talk on a Friday. This hour is going to be filled with head football coach Mario Cristobal, who held a teleconference today. And I'd say coach took questions and spoke about the state of things and his football team for the better part of a half hour. So we'll lay that on you. No. Regardless of circumstance, time, day, when the subject is Oregon Duck football, I would say most people have all their chips in the middle of the table for a little bit of all in. So how you guys holding up? Share your stories. 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You can hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. You can try us on Twitter at 953 the score for the station, for the show at Sports Talk 953 for Nick. Now back in the proverbial saddle, producing the program back in our luxurious Cumulus studios, while I'm now in our spare second bedroom with a little makeshift office and studio set up courtesy of my wife, although one of the pictures we had up has now fallen. My cousins and sister are going to be very upset that they are now on the floor now and I can't reach them. I also want to mention our friends at Big Al State Farm on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. They want to let you know that even though we are living a new normal and thousands in our community are going through hard times, they're working really hard to make sure this new normal feels as much normal as possible. They're working remotely for you, and they want to make sure that the important things in your life are protected. So if you're unsure about your current plan to protect your family and belongings, you can call their office, 686-1522. You can text the same number, 686-1522. And they are reachable right now, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5:30. And because of how things are, if you want to make an appointment, I mean, clients need to make an appointment as to a typical pop-in. So again, online, BigAlEugene.com. The phone number, 686-1522. Big Al State Farm, here to help life go right. Some of the stuff that I was witnessing today on ESPN when I was working out this morning, they showed a couple of this day in history. And so Brett Hull scored his 610th career goal. At the time, he was a member of the Dallas Stars, which at the time tied his dad, Bobby Hull, the Golden Jet, for ninth on the all-time list. Then we also learned today that Ken Griffey Jr. made his major league debut in 1989. I love when you go on a baseball reference, they'll tell you when a guy debuted and where he stands. So when Griffey took the plate in the first inning, officially announced he's in the game, he is the 13,183rd player to play in what we consider the big leagues. The game was at Oakland. He was hitting second in the lineup behind Harold Reynolds, in front of first baseman Alvin Davis, facing A's ace Dave Stewart. And in the top of the first, after Reynolds flied out, Griffey roped a double to center, and in essence, you could say, was on his way to Cooperstown. And the conversation about the top father and son combos in sports history, while the Griffeys were terrific and, you know, playing together, hitting back-to-back homers in 1990, there's really only one Hall of Fame family, the Hulls. Barry and Bobby Bonds. Bobby Bonds was a terrific player. I mean, he was a 30-30 guy before it was fashionable. He played for like 8 million teams. He was a multiple-time All-Star, one of the top five tool players of his generation. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr., with the Bonds, I mean, I say that, you know, Junior's a Hall of Famer, Bonds is a Hall of Fame talent, but we know why the Bay Area Balloonhead isn't in. The Mannings, maybe someday, will have two Hall of Famers, not right now, and I don't know that Eli is a first ballot guy anyway. Archie, you know, more a Pro Bowl style quarterback than a Hall of Fame. Steph Curry's dad, Dell, was never even an All-Star, but he was one of the best three-point shooters around. Coming through the ranks, he was a McDonald's All-American. Then he was an All-American at Virginia Tech, and his, I guess, biggest individual honor as a member of the National Basketball Association was he was the 1994 Sixth Man of the Year Award winner. How about this one? Outside of team sports, you NASCAR guys think Little E, Dale Earnhardt Jr., will make it to where's the Stock Car Racing Hall of Fame in Charlotte? He's won Daytona. He's won a bunch of races. I know his popularity was basically unprecedented. Is Little E a Hall of Fame driver like Dad? Somebody brought up an interesting point in an article I read. What about Muhammad and Leila Ali? First of all, I didn't realize that Ali had 9 kids. I mean, Leila is the 8th of 9. I guess George Foreman does have him beat there with 12, but obviously the resume behind Muhammad, heavyweight champ. Well, she actually won championships in 2 weight classes, super middleweight and light heavyweight. So that's what we talk about, father-son combinations. How about just, you know, father-child, father-daughter, mother-daughter combinations? So I had never thought of that. I thought that was an interesting point that had surfaced. There was the Boone family, and for father-son, the Molinas were all brothers, right? Just like the Alouz. There were 3 players during the 60s and 70s, maybe into the 80s, with Felipe Mateos and Jesus Alou. And then, of course, Moises Alou was a really good player. I mean, you know, none of them are Hall of Famers, but they were – that's right. Felipe Alou was his dad, who was also a manager. I wonder how many of the elder Alouz were Hall of Fame, not Hall of Fame, were All-Star caliber players, because Moises was a 6-time All-Star. So that's, you know, from the Hall of Very Good, Felipe Alou, over the course of his career as an outfielder, played for the Giants when he came up, then for the Braves. I remember when he was on the Yankees. I think he was the oldest, and he was a 3-time All-Star. So that's certainly a family worth noting. But, the Golden Brett and the Golden Jet. Bobby Hull and his son, Brett Hull, who both, by the way, also won one Stanley Cup. Hull, the big controversial goal in the 99 finals against Buffalo for Dallas, skate in the crease. And Bobby Hull, you learned more about that as the Chicago Blackhawks ended a very long drought by winning their first of three Stanley Cups. I believe the first one was 2009. If memory serves me correctly. That would have been ending a drought that had dated to 1962. So, yeah, that was 2010. They won in 10, 13, and 15. So, somebody just texted me. Yeah, I do stand corrected. Brett Hull then moved on to Detroit. And in 2002, the Wings won the Stanley Cup as well. So, yeah, I do stand corrected there. But anyway, that was kind of a interesting tie-in, father-son combos who just happen to have a moment on this day in history. Well, man, Griffey now, 31 years ago. All right, let's get to what I was discussing a tad earlier. This morning, via teleconference, head football coach Mario Cristobal had some comments, and he met with the media, and I figured you guys absolutely wanted to hear that, and we're coming at you right now, 95-3, the score.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's staying safe out there and healthy. Certainly, I know these are challenging times, but in terms of us over here, really proud of our student-athletes for finishing the quarter like they did, and also just being very aware of our situation and circumstances and doing a really good job handling their business at home and being around their family and starting off the quarter as we started this past Monday, which we're all getting used to, attending classes via Zoom, having meetings via Zoom, but checking up on everybody constantly and making sure that we handle what we can handle, take care of what we can take care of, while we all just continue to deal and manage and we go forward. So with that being said, open to questions.
Hey, Mario, it's Ryan Thorburn with the Register Guard. Can you just speak to what are the biggest logistical challenges for you to, you know, monitor 100-plus guys, making sure they're staying safe, but also remotely staying on top of their school and trying to stay in shape, I'd imagine?
Well, I think the first part is making sure that all the principles and values of our culture are intact and constantly being emphasized, because let's call it what it is right now. Culture is going to have to take over because there is no way of completely monitoring every single second of their day. You know, we do things a certain way, and our guys, I think and believe, fully understand that whoever handles their business appropriately, like a professional, is going to be the organization that not only stays safe and healthy, but also comes out of this ready to do whatever the next step requires us to do. So academically, we are we're able to track attendance, you know, for certain classes and whatnot, and others. We have a complete schedule of their, not only their classes, but their assignments, papers, tests that are coming up. And at the same time, understanding that because they are confined to, you know, very limited areas in their home for the most part, that training and staying in shape is something that is going to be completely voluntary. And we've emphasized that with them, the importance of safety, safety, safety. And then after that, we emphasize safety again. So, but that being said, you know, they do have a set of bands and foam rollers, which I didn't think much of until I tried it myself now, but you try one of these workouts with the foam rollers and the bands and it'll put you through the ringer. Shows me how out of shape I am. But they know it's voluntary. They also know that it's, you know, it's voluntary to be great coming out of this thing. And we feel that they're doing a really good job attending to all their obligations and their tasks at hand, while at the same time being very mindful and respectful of what's the things that need to be followed in order to ensure that we continue to curb this thing and come out with success on the other side.
And my follow-up would be, what's kind of the interaction between you and your staff as far as making sure you're ready to roll? You have a new office coordinator and everything. Just when they get back that you guys are also on the same page and getting your meetings done.
Well, you know, the daily schedule doesn't change. I mean, you're up really, really early, and you're right on to recruiting, and then your staff meeting starts 7:30, and you are rolling through tape. We're able to do this together. I think it's kind of interesting. You find out that some of these guys are real characters with some of the backdrops they put on their Zoom deals, but everybody's fully engaged, and everybody understands that, you know, we don't get this time back. It is what it is. And whenever this thing, you know, whenever our circumstances improve and this passes, and there will be a day at some point in time in the future where life is normal again, well, how did you use this time? Well, you better have your opponents broken down. You better have your teach tapes ready. You better have very interactive, productive, and effective meetings, which they're doing a great job with. And I think the players, as we've gone through this 1 week, players and coaches, everybody's getting more used to this. Everybody's really kind of learning that this is, you know, using Zoom and being able to connect like this, it's a very useful tool and can be very effective and productive as long as you do it the right way and you invest the right type of time in it. So we've enjoyed the process of the week, still getting used to it in a couple different ways. Some guys are more technologically savvy than others. I certainly, struggle at first. I am getting better, but I mean, again, last time I used a computer like this was like an Atari 2600 playing Space Invaders. So this is a, this has been quite the eye-opener for me, but I love it. I love the ability to communicate and connect with all of our guys. Thank you.
Mario, it's James Crepia. First, how is everyone as far as players, coaches, families? Last we spoke 3 weeks ago or so, there was a report that Micah Pittman's family had someone who was infected. How is everyone physically? You had players who were sick at one point or another during spring practice, including Brandon Dorlus the whole time before practices. Was anyone quarantined? Was anyone tested? How is everyone physically right now?
Physically, everyone's doing really well. You know, as you know, in terms of health and medical reports, you know, HIPAA laws allow us to say and not say certain things. But in terms of our players, our staff, and our health, everyone is accounted for and everyone is in good health. So we feel real good about that.
That's certainly good to hear. A follow on a different matter then. You have a various searches going on, but the university has announced a hiring freeze. So where do you stand on the wide receiver coach search, the director of recruiting search, and with Rob's announcement that he's taking a pay cut and other university administrators? Has there been any discussion about existing staff, yourself, anything in terms of finances?
Well, in terms of the searches themselves, you know, we continue looking for the best possible candidates for all positions. While we figure out what the processes are, you know, from the university and whatever benefits university best. In terms of me and what you had mentioned with your second question, you know, as you all know, being in the midst of contract negotiations and whatnot before all this got started, that all that stuff will resume when the time is appropriate. Right now, it's not. Right now, the most appropriate thing to be attending to is the welfare, the safety, the health of our football players, our staff, and all that stuff. So that's what the focus is right now. And when the time comes, we'll appropriately address the rest.
Hi, Mario. It's Matt Breen from Duck Territory. You had some freshmen that were going to enroll early into school this term. What's the status with those guys?
Well, Justin Flo has begun classes, and you would have loved this now. You know, every time we begin the spring quarter, we have the player come up and introduce himself to the team, say his name, where he's from, position, which obviously he's a pretty popular guy, Justin. So they all know who he was, but we had to do it via Zoom. So I had to pop his picture up there. You know, he's got those abs sticking out, which I've been trying to get those abs for 40 years. I got, and they just don't come. But anyways, we had popped his picture up there and then put him on so he could speak to the team and introduce himself, and everybody welcomed him. And kind of interesting seeing 100-some-odd faces on a screen and everybody trying to get in their hellos in and their welcomes in. So we welcomed him as best that we possibly could. He's excited to start classes, and he, like the rest of the guys, are chomping at the bit to dive into all the things that go with being a student athlete. But he's also very understanding of the times and the circumstances. So he, along there, like the rest of the guys, they're following suit and doing what they're supposed to do.
And my follow-up would be in regards to your own search at the receiver position. How do you go about that without being able to meet in person? I know you've talked at length about how strenuous your interview processes can be. How do you just handle this process now without meeting a person to, you know, face to face?
No, that's a great question. You maintain the same process. You just don't do it face-to-face. You do it via FaceTime. You do it via watching videos. And because of modern technology and the way things are, your access to watching guys in action, watching guys coach and teach and perform at clinics, and being able to assess the presence of a guy, his knowledge, the way he connects with people, and then researching places where they've been and what they've done. I think that you can make up for some of it. As we know, there's nothing like being in a room face-to-face with someone and getting a feel for what they are and how they do things. But certainly managing it the best way we can, and with our processes as detailed and as thorough as they are, we're just going to continue along the lines and control what we can control and find the best candidates for the position.
Hey, Mario. Tyson Alger here. The last time we talked to you was 3 weeks ago, kind of the day that everything got shut down. And I'm just curious, you know, in that time frame from, you know, facing something unprecedented that college coaches haven't really faced before to now where you're running meetings and watching tape and all that, like how did that following kind of week go with your staff, just going from basically something that you don't have a playbook for to trying to assemble some sort of organized front here?
You know, the first part that was what really kind of hit us was that we were in finals week. So that was a week where we were going to go on our professional development tours, right? You go and visit different NFL spots or different college football teams, and you have your studies. You know, who is the best at blank, name it, whether it be third down offense, third down defense, red zone ball, whatever it may be. So we had to cancel those, because it was really starting to pick up, you know, a lot of momentum as to all the risks that were involved with traveling and whatnot. So that was the first part. Now, when that happened, we just took a deeper dive into what we had done in the first 4 days of spring ball and assessed where we were at. And you always want to figure out by the end of spring ball, okay, we can be good at the following things. We felt that 4 days were productive, not nearly as what you want, but for an entire spring. But we did find out enough about ourselves where we could build on that. But we dove right into the planning and the teach tapes of what is to go with the rest of spring ball, or the rest of spring and the summer, because we kind of felt like, hey, let's plan for the most difficult scenario. Let's plan just in case, you know, this is a situation where the downtime is extended. And we did that. And so we kind of had a dry run at all of this that we are currently doing, all the Zoom meeting time and being able to connect on film and have a special teams meeting and then segue into an offensive and defensive meeting and then be able to break off and have our opponent studies as each position coach is assigned a certain part of that opponent to be able to then, you know, reconvene and be able to sit down as a staff and really dig into the big picture. So I think that week helped us prep for this and helped us get a little bit more used to it. So I guess that's the best way to sum it up. It just, we're so process oriented that if for whatever reason the process has to be altered and changed, we make a quick adjustment and we roll. And I'm really just, I can't say enough about the staff and the players at how well they adjusted without complaining, without panicking, knowing that, you know, again, it's going to be about safety and everything first and then handling our business from there.
And just following up on that, whenever things get back to normal and if it's an accelerated, say, fall camp going into the season, how do you imagine this impacts how you guys are going to evaluate position battles and player evaluations, especially at, you know, a position like quarterback where you guys were just brought in a new player as well?
Well, I think football is football, you know. I mean, football is always won and lost on the field, you know, through camp, through practices or whatnot. So I don't think that part changes. What you have to start doing now is you put together tentative plans, right? If you start on this date or on that date or on whatever it may be, so that you do have a plan that acclimates players to getting prepared to not just play well, but more importantly, just to be able to adjust to the rigors that come with football. It's going to be a health thing at the forefront of every decision that we make, you know. But, you know, when you assess a position like the quarterback, we think Tyler Shuck did an outstanding job in the spring. He entered the spring as a starter. He leaves the spring as a starter. We can't comment on any players that are not currently enrolled or whatnot. But like every single position on the field, we're always going to present competition because it helps our players get better. But I can't emphasize enough how fired up we are about Tyler.
Coach Cristobal on a teleconference call earlier today, getting caught up with some Duck football. That was part one. We'll have part two in a little bit. But hang tight. We'll be back with more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Brett Hull shoots, scores!
His father, Bobby, recorded four seasons of 50 or more goals, so Brett's tally made the Hulls the first father-son duo to each score 50 goals in an NHL season, a feat that remains unmatched to this day.
To be the first was very special. I think it's very hard to follow in your dad's footsteps.
Getting warm, a drop pass to Hull, he scores! Bobby Hull! He has scored his 50th goal of the season. And I
know it's gonna be... Ah, man. Listening to Brett Hull and Bobby Hull score goals, the only father-son duo to score 50 in a season, 600 in a career, both being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And it was on this day that the Golden Brett tied his dad at the time with 610 goals. As we welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. I'll tell you what, the difference between working at home and doing this for a living. During breaks, you know, every other day of my life doing this for more than two decades, you're in studio, you know, maybe you go print something, a story you want to talk about, take some notes, you know, go over what next segment might be. I spent my downtime there playing with my dogs. I gave them some treats and more importantly, took inventory and realized that going to have to be a wine run in there. All right, let us move along and acknowledge that song by Bill Withers, who passed away today. Yep, that goes back to my junior year in high school, 1977. The late, great Bill Withers, who passed away today at age 81. And, you know, certain performers take you back to a time in your life and, you know, not all artists, basketball players, athletes, singers, musicians are legends during the course of their career. So for many who, you know, were radio listeners and fans of popular music, 1971, Ain't No Sunshine came out, and it was like, who's that guy? And then the next summer came Lean On Me. It was kind of a game changer. He did a lot of great songs. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, but that song was, you know, a lot of people found inspirational. It's been used in soundtracks. And, of course, the title of the great Morgan Freeman movie that came out in 1989. And just on a personal level, the story of Joe Clark in Eastside High School, it's where my mom graduated high school. You know, you're going back a million years to 1955. And it's this from the school district where I was born and began, you know, kindergarten. What we used to call PS, public school number 18, first grade, and had my family not moved from the inner city, Paterson, New Jersey, in the summer of 1968, that was the elementary school that would have filtered me and my sister into Eastside. And over the years, as the 60s gave way to the 70s, Paterson, the inner city, and the school itself began to deteriorate. In essence, they were, you know, the movie is more based on, but, you know, having lived through it and reading the stories and seeing the news reports, basically the clowns in Trenton, the state capital, really did not do the right thing. And the superintendent in the 80s, who had been friends with Joe Clark since he was a young teacher, rolled the dice on a pretty unique, controversial, kind of out there personality. And one scene in the movie, which was spot on accurate, he took over and he basically found the truants and the delinquents, and he kicked like 250 students out the first day. And not everybody was on board with that. But especially in a city like Patterson, which had a very, 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 very rough racial history. I mean, think about the Dylan song and the Denzel movie, Hurricane, about Reuben Hurricane Carter. Yeah, that took place at a downtown bar in Patterson. Wrongly imprisoned a man. But back to Withers. Just unbelievable voice, a 1970s legend. And he actually, though most think of his popular music from Lovely Day, Lean on Me, Use Me, Ain't No Sunshine, Grandma's Hands, all in from 1971 through 1977. As the decade started, he released the song Just the Two of Us with the great saxophone player Grover Washington. I mean, that song was all over the airwaves right around 1980. And it really kind of typified the sound of the time. It was as likely to be played on what you would call light stations, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. You're listening to Magic 102.7, and here's Bill Withers and Grover Washington, Just the Two of Us. And it also was kind of a nice dance song, and if you would hear it at clubs, and it was just cool. R.I.P. Bill Withers. And the Ain't No Sunshine, well, that was always a great trivia question. First of all, if you sang along when you got to the part with I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, you had to know and count it out that you had to say that 26 times so you can be on time with the song. So anyway, yeah, that was one of the 8 million sad stories we're hearing about living through scary times. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We've got time for a call, especially always for my buddy Cal, who joins us on this Friday. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, my friend. Very nice to hear you talking about your history with Bill Withers. and I just want to throw my two cents in there.
Sure.
I got to sit in with the band Cab, Candy Apple Blue. They play Smooth 70s. And the first song of the set was Just the Two of Us.
Nice.
And I'll tell you, as a bass player, that kind of music just typifies what you hope to be as a bass player when you want to learn those lines. That is just the epitome of cool, you know. So what's neat for me, I'm 51, and so I was pretty young really young during the 70s. It's really great that a lot of that music is still very much appreciated and alive to this day, to the
timeless
degree that I hear it a lot, you know. And not too long ago, this is kind of a weird thing about me, but not too long ago I was hearing the song Ain't No Sunshine, and I counted how many times he said, and I know, I know, I know. 19 times. He says it 19 times. You know, which is just one of those odd things in music where it's like, wow, they did this thing that's just kind of out there, and it really worked.
It's legendary. That's the key. In order to sing along, you know, you don't want to be the one, especially if you've had a few and you're with your buddies and you're still singing and like, dude, we're already on to the next refrain.
Yeah, you better be counting with your fingers. quietly, you know?
No, that's great. That's awesome.
Good. Yeah, man. Well, that's all I wanted to share with you right at the moment. So.
All right. Always good to hear from you, man. Be well. Be safe. Catch up soon.
You too.
And by the way, Candy Apple Blue, spelled B-L-E-U. I've always seen signs, you know, playing around some of the local bars, some of the local hangouts, but good stuff. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this hour of sports talk with the second half of Mario Cristobal's teleconference today. Moving it along, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
The Patriots lost four starters on defense, two on offense. One of those starters on offense was their quarterback. The Bills, meantime, traded for Stephon Diggs. They already were making gains on the Patriots, who, as soon as that division ticked up, not only couldn't beat a Miami team they were supposed to beat in order to have a bye in the first round, which they didn't get, they also couldn't win their first round playoff matchup. So that bye was really important.
And we're back in the 1990s with the Buffalo Bills, the team to beat in the AFC East. And I do mean the early 90s. All right, let's get right into it. A chance to talk Duck football. Can't pass that up on a Eugene sports show, especially during a time like this where content is king. Earlier today, Coach Mario Cristobal met via a teleconference call. We played you the first half at the top of the hour. Here's the second half, which will take us right into the 5 o'clock hour of sports talk right here, 95.3 The Score.
Okay, everybody. We'll open up for some more questions. When you ask a question, just limit it to one and a follow-up. And when you ask a question, please state your name and your outlet.
Coach Rick Morgan, DuckNews.com. And just kind of following up on what you were saying with the last question, what do you have in mind for the logistics for getting things started up once you get the all clear? How long will it take you to get the kids on campus? How much time do you think you need in advance of the first game and that kind of thing?
That's a question that involves way too much speculation. It's very broad-based. And I do get it's a great question. But the scenarios that can play out are so many, I don't think it's something that you can answer, you know, over the phone in a conversation like this. But we are planning for everything possible. We are planning for whatever this may bring. And, again, we're very optimistic. We just feel that the measures taken by the governor and the rest of the country are things that are going to, you know, as long as everybody continues to stay safe and do things like they're supposed to, that, you know, there's going to be a point in time where we are going to be ready to go, and we'll plan for that. But I think as this thing gets further along and we get close to that time, I think it'd be a more appropriate time to bring a more specific answer as opposed to giving you, you know, 25 different scenarios.
Thank you.
Jerry Thompson, Ducks Illustrated. Okay. Can you explain in a little more detail the voluntary workouts? In other words, if a quarterback wants to throw a football to a receiver, just play catch or whatever, do they have a key to any facilities on campus, or do they need to go to a playground, or what can they do, and what are the limitations on that?
No, all facilities on campus are completely closed to everybody. They are not accessible at all. So voluntary workouts are whatever they can do on their own, more than likely within the confines of their home, you know, or their backyard or something of that nature. I imagine if there's and they have a really big backyard, they could probably take more advantage of that. I don't see anybody having a Tom Brady backyard, but at the same time, you know, that's about it. You know, it's about as simple as that. So guys are going to have to be very diligent, making sure that, you know, from a mental health standpoint, it's also really important to just stay physically active in a safe manner. So, and our guys understand that, and certainly a point of emphasis.
And a follow-up, a little bit like what Rick was, you know, I'm not speculating too much, but say you're cleared May 15th or May 20th, whatever, to resume, I mean, could you then finish spring workouts?
again, that's such a question that involves so many different scenarios, and there are too many things tied to talking about the continuation of spring ball or going to another model. There are a lot of different scenarios that do have a tentative planning that goes with it, and all that stuff is being drawn up and discussed by the conference and by the entire country with the administrations, our administration, the coaches. So, and as there is a more concise plan put together, something more specific, and there's more data regarding when and if things can start, then I think that'd be a better time to get into some of those discussions. I think right now there's too much of an unknown to be able to speculate.
Okay, thank you. Mario, Julian Minnenstone, KZI. First question for you is, has this time maybe given you more of an appreciation for the game than you already had before?
I can't say I've ever gone a day without appreciating the game. I mean, this is part of the DNA. You know, I tell you, one thing that really hit home is I've always told my wife, I can't imagine life during the fall or the spring where I'm not like breaking bread with the guys after a big practice, getting ready for the next one and going to meetings. So those are the kind of things, like right now, like not being around our players, that type of interaction, the rigors and the just all the things, the special moments, the teaching moments, both as players and coaches that we get to go through together. Those are the things that really, yeah, those things hit home. I think I'll always appreciate the game like our coaches do. Do we miss not being in spring ball? Absolutely. I love practice as much or more than games sometimes. I do. I love the teaching and the coaching aspect. So, yeah, absolutely. Certainly appreciate it more and more all the time.
And my follow-up for that would be, given now that off-season workouts have fallen on the responsibilities of the players, how much do you think will you learn about your guys, especially a lot of the new ones during this time?
You'll learn a lot about, I think, you know, but again, when you say learn, you'll learn when the season comes around, because, you know, somebody put out a great quote the other day about, you know, someone themselves, and this relates to everyone, not just players and workouts, just people in general when it comes to work and doing their job. If you haven't done your job and haven't done your work, you know, or you've done it sporadically, you'll know. But sooner or later, everyone else is going to know, your competitors, right? You know, when it comes time for performing. So I think that what happens during a time like this is a lot of your culture is going to show itself, because what do you stress when you stress culture? What do you stress when you stress accountability and doing the right thing? You stress to make sure that that O never comes off your chest, that you're doing things right all the time, that you're holding yourself to the highest standard as it relates to treatment of people and accountability to the classroom and respect and making sure that everybody's on task. So this is also, you know, a test for that, and something that, you know, especially as our program operates, I cannot speak for other programs out there. Our program operates at a really high level of culture. You know, it's demanding, but it's not demeaning. And, you know, it's led to, you know, led to a Pac-12 championship, and it's led to a Rose Bowl championship. And, you know, we feel it's only the beginning, and our players also understand and know that we want to continue to elevate that standard, for that to be the beginning, that we got to continue taking the right steps. So I got off on a tangent there a little bit, but hopefully you understand where I'm coming from. You've got to be able to be accountable and responsible to yourself, to your families, to all those people around you as well, your neighbors. And I think everyone will abide by what is necessary so that our entire country, our entire world can go forward, heal up, get healthy, and go on to the next phase. Thank you.
Hey, Coach, AJ McCord here with COIN. Thanks for doing this with us. Quick question for you about the workouts that you're sending out to players. There's a lot of things you can do as an individual, footwork, et cetera, but there's a lot of things that equipment would be very helpful for, like offensive line drills, things like that. So how creative are you having to be with the workouts that you send your players to make sure that they're not just doing good strength and flexibility exercises, but good football exercises?
I think the best thing that is with them is the foundation of what we do from an individual technique and fundamental standpoint. Does that make sense? You know, what we do in practice, what we do in the fourth quarter program, all those things that we do are football specific movement, and they're all position specific. So
playing with your feet in the ground and coming to balance, accelerating and decelerating and getting your hands inside and playing with a flat back and being able to block people low to high and strike blockers and defenders. All those things have been drilled, and they know these drills like the back of their hand. And they know that's part of our regimen. That's part of our DNA. That's part of our blueprint. So are they going to have the same equipment that they use here? Absolutely not. So how they get creative, it doesn't matter. It's just, number one, they know it's voluntary. And number two, they know that they have to be safe, and they cannot at any expense put either one of those two priorities at risk. So I'm sure they'll get creative. I'm sure they'll get antsy. But the way we emphasize all the other stuff, they know that it has to be done a certain way and the right way, and that it's on them. You know, this is something that we can't monitor. We can't supervise. And to me, it's almost, this is a great, great test of culture. So I think all in all, it'll be a positive thing.
And then my follow-up to that then would be, who's primarily in charge of coordinating which position groups, which players get which workouts?
No, you can't coordinate or you can't coordinate or conduct workouts during this time. Not allowed to do that. Not allowed to supervise it. Not allowed to take attendance. And that's just the way that the rules are set right now. It's all on the players. The players have to do all of that themselves. They're not allowed to report. They're not allowed to send videos. And we follow those rules to a T, not to be in any way, shape, or form violated. So, and our players understand that we know that as well. So we emphasize the importance of staying healthy and staying fit, but in no way, shape, or form are we messing with those rules.
Oh, so you can't send out workout plans or anything like that. That's what you're saying.
We can't conduct workouts. We
right.
can't supervise
okay.
workouts. Is you know what I mean? That's what we are not allowed to do.
What's it been like for you, family time? Are they getting sick and tired of seeing you around the house all the time, or are they enjoying, the kids and your wife seeing you a lot more? You mentioned, you're used to breaking bread with the guys right now. So how has that been for you?
Well, it's kind of interesting when you're in the middle of a film session and a Zoom session with your coaches and you catch a Nerf dart across the side of the head. That's not fun, but at the same time, being able to see Jessica and the boys much more than I could have ever imagined. And they're actually, they're 8 feet away while we're Zooming each other and conducting meetings and opponent study and all that stuff. It's been really neat. It's been really neat to take moments out to help with homeschooling. And you know what? I've learned that I've always had the ultimate respect for teachers and police officers and whatnot, and obviously doctors, nurses, practitioners. And now more than ever, homeschooling is hard now. it's been quite the challenge, but loved the challenge and the opportunity that comes with that. I think everybody is reconnecting in a way that they never thought they would. And you know what? In a way that we'll probably never see in our lifetime again. So there's something to be said about that. And at the same time, while you're staying efficient and handling your duties and obligations, because myself and our coaching staff, we are responsible for, all 115 student athletes. And we don't compromise either one of these responsibilities for anything. And so all in all, it's been a really positive experience.
Your head football coach, Mario Cristobal, addressing the media for the first time in several weeks today. We'll be back with more Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
But man, y'all got a coconut up.